The Bible Study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome. It's the second hour of the Bible Study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks again to Professor Mike Eschelbach from Concordia University, Chicago, as we went through Exodus chapter 28, the first 30 verses about the priesthood. And now let me express to you great joy, because this is the benefit of having a director at KFUO Radio who also happens to be a trained pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, the Reverend Rod Zwanitzer. Good morning. How are you?
Fine, Roland. How are you?
See, this is the great joy of my life, because normally I'd have to build in, I'd have to vamp a little bit. Now I can just grab you out of the lobby and say, get on the radio as we wait for Fritz Bowie to show up.
My pleasure.
Thank you for coming in. I don't know what, we talked about a couple of things when you came in, about a week ago with Gary Duncan about the operations of the radio station, and don't know if there's anything you want to add to that about what may be coming in the near future for KFUO.
Look for a new program coming your way early in July, talking to authors about the best books in Christian publishing. So I'm excited about that.
And who's going to host that program?
I am.
You
of
are?
All people,
well,
yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we're excited about that. I know you're an avid reader,
I
am.
Yeah.
So probably we'll be passing some stuff back and forth for our usage. So excited about that. So,
well, for you, what makes a book good?
Well, I think number one,
because you're an author yourself, you've written a couple of books, right?
Yes. Uh huh. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, number one, it's that grabber of the title, the topic, the content, and then, you know, I can't get through some because the style is just something that's so laborious. And your guest today was actually the editor on my book and did a marvelous job cleaning it up.
I like Mike Eschelbach. He's a good guy.
No, Fritz.
Oh, Fritz
Bowie.
Oh, the guy's walking in behind you here.
Hey, Ryan.
Fritz Bowie.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So just
morning.
To
see you.
Just to wrap up real quick here, Rod, your program begins, you said, early July?
July 9th.
July 9th. Do you have your first guest lined up?
I do.
And you want to sort of spill the beans a little bit here? Give the big promo.
Why not?
On,
why not? Because it's one of the, you're asking me what makes a great book. This one, the title and the style is phenomenal, and the topic is so vital to the world, and especially the USA world. It is Family Vocation by Dr. Gene Veith and his daughter.
I love Gene Veith. What a great guy.
Yeah, and this book, Family Vocation, The Callings of Parenting, Marriage, and an amazing one, Childhood, which I think is very unique and very necessary. But that, you know, as we can well imagine being fathers, family is such a state of deterioration, not only in our country and world, but in the church. And so this is great stuff, great stuff. I started reading it back in the parish. Just a marvelous book, marvelous. So that's going to be my first guest.
I could talk to Veith just about the spirituality of the cross.
Isn't that a marvelous book?
And a great guy, because the way he writes, thick-headed crowds like me, even I can understand that stuff.
That's two of us.
And the program airs, you said, July
9th.
9th at what time?
2:30 to 3 o'clock here on KFUO, worldwide KFUO.
We will have to get a promo in the rotation for you.
Where it's in the works right now.
Rod, thanks for filling in for a moment, because, you know, Fritz was a few moments in getting here. We appreciate that he has arrived safely by God's speed.
I have.
We don't want to keep Ron Clem waiting any longer.
And
so
Fritz has written a marvelous book on society. I don't know if you've been on this programs. It's a marvelous book. With well written and very deserving of time and interest by the listening audience.
Well,
let's have you on the book talk. That's a new program, Fritz.
Oh,
book
yeah?
talk.
Well, I've got
let's
a lot
get
of
you
books.
On there.
I've got a lot of books.
Well,
I'm
on creation,
on.
And you know this weird guy named Herman, somebody or other.
Well, yeah, I've got a new book out here, The Epistles of Herman Nudix, that I brought along with me, with a little ecclesiastical humor, right? And so we can talk about that sometime. And I'm also working on a baseball novel.
That's which, right. You mentioned that last time you were here.
Yeah, I just finished chapter 2. I've got 9 chapters and 9 innings, a complete game.
I know the title of this book.
The title?
Yeah.
What's the title?
The first works in the Bible, In the Beginning.
In the beginning. There you go.
With that, I must go, so thank you.
Thank you for filling in. Appreciate your time. Thank you, Rod. And Fritz, will let you trade places there because that's a better mic, and I think you'll sound a lot better for the program as we go through this. You know, I've got a stack of stuff for you today. I hope you are ready to tackle all things hither and yon, theological and otherwise. But first,
yes.
But first, I've got to ask, what's going on with you? You've always got some project. You mentioned a couple here.
Well, yeah. First of all, let me tell you a little anecdote about Gene Edward Veith, and I go back a long time, and it was at a garden party. I was talking with his daughter, Joanna. This was before she got married. And she was there, a very sweet kid. And I told her, you know, I have to admit, Joanna, I really hate your father because he writes so well.
He does.
And she said, she immediately came back and said, well, that's okay because he hates you, too, because you play the guitar so well. So I said, I'm so happy.
Not to make you feel bad, but I am disappointed because every time you come in, I sit here with great hope and desire that you will bring with you your fiddle or something to play.
Well, I rushed out of the house this morning, and I didn't bring my fiddle. I didn't bring my guitar. And so, again, I'll have to bring them all next time. And I think I'm scheduled. I don't have my notebook.
Well, we'll check that before you go.
With me. I'll be back in a week or two.
Did I see something? I don't know if it was something that came out of the LCMS headquarters in Kirkwood or some sort of a little blurb that came across the email. You've written a new hymn or a new tune?
A new tune. Well, I'm writing all the time. And I don't know. I get up in the morning and I pop the cork and out it, turn the bottle and out it comes. It's a constant flow of creative output. But I wrote a tune called Buzz Off.
That's the one I saw.
Yeah.
And that's about what?
Well, the Lutheran Malaria Initiative, which is seeking to eradicate malaria, which is just devastating millions of people in Africa because of the tsetse fly, or not the tsetse fly, but the mosquito over there. And this is a very, very worthy cause, and I don't have a lot of money to contribute, but what I can do is write songs. And the theme or the motto of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative is Buzz Off. And if I'd thought of it, let me write a list of these things and I'll bring them all with me next time. But I just woke up one day and all of a sudden, buzz off, you nasty little bug. And I started chunking a little blues riff on the guitar, and pretty soon, bloop, out it came. And so I wrote this song called Buzz Off, You Nasty Little Bug. You better get out of the area because we're getting rid of you and your malaria. Okay. I had to find something.
It has to rhyme.
And then some verses about, you know, when God made the world, he made it right. There were mosquitoes, but they didn't bite. But along came the serpent, slick as you please. Man fell. Then came sin, death, and disease. And then it goes back, buzz off, you nasty little bug. Buzz off, you nasty little bug. Better get out of the area, because we're getting rid of you and your malaria. And my record producer, Billy Engel of Engel Studios, who I recommend to everybody, just did a marvelous job of putting in some backup singers. And Ray Charles, Ray Letts type. You know, said, yeah. That's the sound I want. And he did it, too. I don't know how he did it. But
how is this going to be used?
Well, I am not sure. I think turned the complete rights over to the Lutheran Malaria Initiative as my gift to them, and they can exploit that in whatever way that they want. But they're talking about, you know, campfire groups and youth groups and, you know, a theme song that use on their videos and however they want to use it. But it's nice to write something that gets a lot of buzz.
We were in the industry. I know. I was letting that one.
Okay.
I don't want to encourage you too much because you'll just take over. By way of proper introduction, because we had a little bit of a staggered start this morning with Rod Zwanitzer filling in for a few moments, Pastor Emeritus Fred Bowie from Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, is our guest this morning here on Ask the Pastor, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And KFUO at KFUO.org. I'm going to stack your stuff for Friday. But this is one of the good guys, folks. If you've got a question about theology that's been bugging you for a while, this is the man to ask, and I'm glad you're here today.
If it's been bugging you, we can get
it
to buzz off.
See, what I got to
tell you, the young pastor, Jeff Hemmer, that took my place at Bethany and Fairview Heights, The man is doing a beautiful, beautiful job over there. He just took what I had built, and it's a real Lutheran church, and I'm just going to ask, you know, where in St. Louis can you find a genuine Lutheran Church?
Well, you know, we have this website, lcms.org, where you
I mean, you can find a lot of churches that say Lutheran, but as far as continuing in the main tradition of Scripture and the confession, so many of them have been influenced by the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Fuller Seminary, Church Growth program. It's so many churches have watered down their Lutheranism, but as far as doing a complete liturgical worship service with Holy Communion every Sunday, I affiliated my wife and I with Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, and that's an authentic Lutheran church.
Golden's a good guy.
Golden is
tremendous pastor.
He really is
good teacher as well, and a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his picture on Facebook for the longest time was the top of his head.
Oh yes, that's right. Yeah. he kids about that.
Sort of that glowing forehead. Hey, I'm glad you brought that up about the distinctions between the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and other churches, other denominations that are out there in the world today. Here's a story I pulled off the wire this morning from the Christian Post, and the headline is: Maryland boy ordained as pastor claims God called him to preach.
Hmm.
Now the story goes on to say that this 11-year-old, really quite 11 yet, he's just a few weeks short of his 11th birthday, has been ordained as a pastor in a Maryland church, and he's insisting that God called him to ministry in a dream, and he has the full support of the church that mm-hmm. he's been leading for the past several months.
Is his name Marjo by any chance?
No, Marjo Gordon, the actor, started out that way. Yeah. Remember the old movie Earthquake? He was in that. He was the bad guy in Earthquake.
Oh, I forget about that. Yeah.
He's this is a quote from the 11-year-old.
Okay.
A lot of grown-ups will look at me like I'm just a joke and I need to sit down. His name is Ezekiel Stoddard. That's his quote. He's referred to as Pastor Ezekiel Stoddard. And his church is called the Fullness of Time Church in Capitol Heights, Maryland.
Capitol Heights, Maryland.
So it's in the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
Is it in a
storefront, you know?
I don't know. There was not a picture that came along with it. But then he goes on to say, but what they need to realize is this. It's not just me just getting up for fame and everything. It's for me to minister the gospel. That's what God inspired me to do.
Well,
now, you went to seminary. Now, look at this. See, if you just, you know, would have, you know, gotten two friends and a Bible, you could have been a pastor right off the bat.
And that is, the article doesn't say yet, but that is the tradition in many fundamentalist, Baptist, Pentecostal churches. You get the call, so to speak, that is the inner call, to the compulsion to preach God's word. And And that's all you need. You just get up and you start. You feel the Holy Ghost. You're struck by a pious impulse, and you get up and you start preaching. And that's all you need. In the traditional churches, Catholic, Orthodox, Lutheran, Episcopalian, and so forth, there's the inner call, and there's the external call, and there's the mediating influence of the church, which has supervising adjudicatories, bishops, district presidents, local congregations that will scrutinize a candidate and make sure that his life and conduct are befitting that, which are consistent with the descriptions of a pastor given in 1 Timothy and Titus. And then if he meets those qualifications and gets that approval, then they pack him off to seminary or prep school and seminary. In our case, in which he learns Greek and Hebrew and German and Latin, and that's where a lot of them wash out along the way. And then they get into the seminary-level courses and learn systematic and exegetical and historical and practical theology. And then they have to work for a year in a congregation in an internship or vicarage-type situation. And some guys wash out at that stage. They just find that they're not suitable to be a pastor. So there are a lot of hoops to go through for the external call to be verified, plus then they have to be acceptable to a congregation. And some guys get out in their first congregation and they can't hack it, and you know, after a year or two they go and sell shoes and do something else. So the inner call, that's the easy route. The kid's 11 years old when he's 21, 31, 41, we'll see how it goes and if he's still going at it. At present, he's a novelty to the outside world. To the world of Pentecostalism and fundamentalism, he's not a novelty at all. He's a little on the young side, but not at all a novelty.
One of the church members...
And female pastors, too. You know, just get the compulsion, they get up and start preaching.
One of the members of the congregation that affirmed this 11-year-old as their new pastor said, God can use anybody, why not a child?
Sure.
That seems to be, you know, that seems to be an excuse that we lay on God quite a bit. Well, if God could make a mountain, he can certainly, whatever, fill in the blank.
Well, what I would like to hear is one of these kids, sermons. What is the content? Is it the law and gospel properly divided? My kids and I have a cousin that goes, or used to go to a church in Chester, Illinois, which was led by one of these jump-up pastors. And they had the rock and roll band and the cool gospel chorus, and it was showbiz, and had the overhead projector and the bouncing ball, and the preacher jumped up and down talked for 45 minutes, and he yelled and shouted and stood on a chair and got on his knees on the floor. And I thought, boy, my kids are going to be so so impressive. They're going to want to go to that church, because it was exciting. And that was it was exciting, fast paced, not slow, dignified, and boring like typical Lutheran service. Okay, well, all the way home. Back to St. Louis, my kids were doing a post-mortem on this experience that they just had. And they said, that guy's sermon, he just said the same thing over and over and over again for 45 minutes. He just was making it up as he went along, and there was no structure to it. There was no right division of law and gospel. And my kids are like, you know, 6, 10, and 13 at that point, and I'm thinking, they might turn out to be Lutherans after all. And they really had discernment at what they had experienced. So the 11-year-old from Maryland, wish him well. God can use children. God has used my children to rebuke me or affirm me or give me a word of comfort from the Lord. No doubt about that. But as far as preaching and being a pastor of a church, I want to see one of his sermons.
Well,
let's see what the content is.
It says he reads the Bible, so I'm sure he's okay.
Yeah. Just believe the Bible.
The reason I bring this up is we've been spending, the last several weeks in Exodus on the Bible study.
Okay.
And God is very specific. We're talking about the priestly garments today for Aaron, from Exodus 28. And God seems to set these standards for what will and will not be accepted when we worship, when Israel worships him. And that's why that story stood out for me today, because to me that seems awfully sort of random, disorganized. If you put an 11-year-old in charge of a church, what benefit do you do either the church or the 11-year-old?
Well,
and there's got to be a point to this order that God talks about in Exodus when it comes to worship.
It's like the King Henry VIII's son, Edward VI, who was the child king. He had a group of adult, what they call protectors, that were really running the government because he was just a kid and didn't know what he was doing.
When we get back from the break, we can start on this now. We've got an email I've got in front of you that was sent in by John. You're going to need a moment to read through that to see what John is asking about. But the other thing I wanted to get into was the priesthood of all believers, because perhaps some of this notion that this 11-year-old can be a pastor comes from maybe a misunderstanding, a misrepresentation of what it is to be a member of the priesthood of all believers, and that comes out of what? 1 Peter, I believe, right?
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
We'll find it.
Help me. Work with me here, Pastor. I need your guidance and support as we go through this. Well, it says in 1 Peter 2, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Well, when we get back from the break, explain to me why, if I am a member of this priesthood of all believers, I can't just be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to go through all that production and preparation and all that work that you talked about? I'm already a priest, am I not?
Your German is pretty good. You're well on your way.
Yeah, echte Deutsch, yeah.
You just need to add some Latin and
some non compos mentis. Look that one up during the break. This is the Ask the Pastor Hour. A very dear friend, Pastor Emeritus Fred Bowie from Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. That's where he did serve, now attends over, as he mentioned, at Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, where Pastor Kevin Golden is the pastor. We would love to hear from you this morning, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. You can call in, write in during the break. John has done so. We're going to take a quick look at John's email. Was Jesus also called God? A little discussion about Jehovah's Witnesses, but we would love to hear from you as well. Give us a shout. The break is a great time to call in. We'll be right back.
Dr. C.F.W. Walther once told his seminary students, "I wish to talk the Christian doctrine into your very heart, enabling you to come forward as living witnesses with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I do not want you to be standing in your pulpits like lifeless statues, but to speak with confidence and cheerful courage." Today, Concordia Seminary still strives to do just that.
The American Lutheran tradition of bringing displaced persons from peril to protection goes back to World War II, which displaced one out of six Lutherans. Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service has carried on that tradition for over 70 years, resettling almost 400,000 refugees and providing urgently needed protection. June 20th, World Refugee Day, a day to remember the 14 million refugees who still need service and our prayers. For information, go to LIRS.org.
You may know Thrivent Financial for Lutherans as a Fortune 500 organization, but did you know we're committed to excellence in financial services and caring for others? That's why we're proud to support the St. Louis area and those who live here. Find out more about the unique ways we give back to the communities we serve. In Chesterfield, call me, Matthew Kloss, at 314-783-4213. That's 314-783-4213.
This is John Fuller, and on the next Focus on the Family, Jim Daly and I take a look at the pros and cons of friendships on Facebook and other social media sites. Does your spouse need to know everything you do online? We'll explore that question and offer suggestions about establishing boundaries for all those tweets and pins on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Weekdays at 9:30 on KFUO Radio.
A Christian group is accusing Nigeria's government of an ineffective and cavalier response to religious violence in which at least 138 people have been killed this week alone. The radical Islamist group Boko Haram claims responsibility for attacks aimed at overthrowing what it calls a heathen government and replacing it with an Islamic system. The group also claimed responsibility for a trio of church bombings on Sunday. Despite the violence, President Goodluck Jonathan has gone to Brazil for a UN environmental conference. The Christian Association of Nigeria blasted the president, saying he's done nothing to end the attacks. In Washington, State Department spokeswoman Victoria Nuland said,
"The department has now designated three senior leaders of Boko Haram. They've been designated as global foreign terrorists."
That blocks any assets the men may have in the U.S. and bars Americans from doing business with them. I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Another abortion mill has closed, this time in Columbus, Ohio. Beforehand, a pro-life sidewalk counselor had seen a young woman stagger out of the mill, drop to her knees, and become sick. She was bleeding heavily through her clothes. The pro-lifer rushed the woman to a hospital where she was treated. This place of death has chalked up serious health violations, and one of the abortionists has been charged with attempted gross sexual imposition, voyeurism, and public indecency. These types of crimes aren't unusual for abortionists who prey on vulnerable women. So how are these legal abortion mills different from the old back alley ones? Only the location of the entrance. Now we call them front alley abortion mills, and they must all be shut down before they kill more babies and women.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Good morning and welcome back to the Ask the Pastor Hour here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Pastor Emeritus Fritz Bowie, Fred Bowie, our guest this morning. We've got a number of things on the plate. I set one out before you about priesthood of all believers, and John has written in about Jehovah's Witnesses, and how do you talk with a Jehovah's Witness about Jesus really did claim to be God, that he was not a created being. But first, and as always, our priority is to go to the phones, talk with our callers. John, you hold tight. We'll get to your email in just a moment. Let's bring Miles into the conversation. Good morning, Miles. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Roland. Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
Great to have you on there. Hope you're well.
I'm doing
about
good.
10 years ago, good. About 10 years ago, I guess, you put out a book, if I remember correctly, it was about the coming Syrian age.
Yeah.
CPH book, and you probably talked about it in a couple of Bible classes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I was wondering two things. How do you feel that's played out over, I guess, the last 10 or 12 years since you wrote it? And are you writing another book? And
okay.
I hope you're doing good. I also wanted to ask you about the David Surkamp connection. They put out some pretty interesting music back when I was listening to that stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool that you mentioned him the other day, or the other month. Anyway, that's a lot of topics.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what was the one about music that I didn't...
I thought it was pretty cool that you were working with David Surkamp. You're the most eclectic confessional pastor that I know. That is really
okay.
Cool.
Okay,
okay.
Good, yeah.
Okay.
Well, let me expatiate on that just briefly.
Thanks, Miles.
Yes.
Appreciate the call.
Oh, by the way, I mentioned earlier in the program how I hated Ed Veith because he writes so well. Roland, I just want to say I hate you, too, because you have such a beautiful, mellifluous radio voice.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
I just want to clear the air about that.
You know, what do they say? I am somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
now that Pastor Fritz Bowie hates me, I am somebody.
Well, yes, it was
mellifluous. I like that, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Anyway, it was about 10 years ago, actually in 2001, that I wrote a book called The Spiritual Society to address the question, if postmodernism comes after modernism, what comes after postmodernism? And as Miles said, I had posited a concept called the Therian Age from There, which is the word for beast. And there are two beasts mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. There's one from the earth and one from the sea. And one represents government oppression, that is external opposition to the truth of the Christian church. And the other is the beast from the earth, which represents religious persecution. And by a Therian age, I meant to indicate that we're going through a short, turbulent, transitional period in the 20th century. I drew on the work of Russian-born Harvard sociologist P.A. Sorokin, who's been often called a neglected genius, but whose work is being rediscovered today. And my indication in reading contemporary poetry indicated that that things were changing from a postmodern Weltanschauung or worldview, which is predominantly secular and pessimistic, into a worldview that is more of its opposite, that is spiritual and optimistic, but hostile to Orthodox Christianity and the truth that the church represents. Now, to answer Miles's question, you remember that scene in Star Wars where the evil emperor gets off of his space shuttle and he's with Darth Vader and he cackles, "Everything is coming to pass exactly as I had foreseen."
Yes.
That's true. I really need to do an updated version of that book. I wrote it very quickly, but a lot of the things that I had predicted are in fact coming to pass. What other books am I working on? Well, since that time, I've written a book on the doctrine of creation, in which I explore, I limit myself to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, but try to apply the lessons of Genesis and creation to the first article of the Creed, but also the second article and the third article. The book is structured around the three articles of the Creed. Another book that I've written since then is one that I brought with me, The Epistles of Hermann Neudix. And Hermann Neudix being a name also sounds like hermeneutics, which is a branch of theology which deals with the interpretation of a written text. And that is my feeble attempt at church humor. And I've received letters or epistles from this imaginary Lutheran pastor for up to 30 years now, and I decided finally to compile them all. Other than that, hymn writing, and I've got some a couple of novels that are set in kind of an imaginary, you know, Perry County, Missouri, where I partly grew up, my mother being from there. And one is completed and in the process of going through editing and design and so forth. But what I'm working on now, day by day, writing longhand on good stock paper with a Mont Blanc ink pen, Which is a very pleasurable experience, the way to write, aside from a typewriter or a keyboard, is a baseball novel. 9 chapters, 9 innings, a complete game. And when I was at Cooperstown doing research, I found that there's no other baseball novel that's ever been written that has attempted that, and also dealing with theological conflict in that book as well.
Do you self-publish, or do you have a publishing house you go through?
I have actually formed my formed my own publishing company, which I call Pergola Press LLC, and I'm working on getting the website up and running right now. But
well, folks are looking for your books. If you have the website yet, you've got a phone number you usually give out, don't you?
Yes, my phone number, I will give it out, is 314-307-6512. And if anybody wants to call me and get a copy of my book, I will immediately rush over to their house and fall down and hug them by the knees and say, oh, thank you so much for buying a copy of my book.
Karen, dial the phone number now. Order one of his books. I want to see if he makes it there before noon.
And David Sirkamp is a dear friend. And actually met him at a Weight Watchers meeting because he was trying to trim down and get ready for a European tour.
Mm.
But I've been privileged as a musician to know quite a number of very fine musicians in the St. Louis area, and I treasure those relationships. A lot of things have been said to me in confidence that I really can't talk about, but I had a friend in England years ago named Nigel Goodwin, and he basically opened his heart and opened his home to, he was an actor and he lived in the West End, and a lot of people whose names you would recognize today just would come to his apartment after the theater let out and the cafes were closed, and just hang out and talk all night and ask about the questions. And you know, I've found with people that the music people that I've gotten to know, sometimes it takes 10 years, not 10 minutes, in developing a relationship before they will ask the question that's really on their heart, a question about God, because they all know I'm a pastor. They respect me because I played music fairly well and written a few songs and so forth. But I don't interact with those people because I'm trying to close the sale. I enjoy the music, and I enjoy being with them, and the spiritual aspect of the relationship just comes out naturally over a glass of wine and in between songs. And I think that's what the early church did.
And that's so different, because what comes out of, 60s, 70s, 80s, I don't know, like the evangelism explosion or whatever, it wasn't really so much about that relationship. It was about closing the deal. You know, they were taught ways to close the deal. You meet somebody who's not in the faith, you argue them into the faith, you close the deal.
Right.
Now they're in the church.
There's airplane conversions. I mean, you know, the guy's strapped into the seat next to you, and he can't get out. And you're going to sit next to him in 2 hours and bring him to the faith in Christ.
Let's go back to the phones, because Herman has been waiting patiently. Good morning, Herman. Thank you for the call. Pastor Bowie is our guest. Go for it.
Thank you for taking the call. You could say I'm the original, or Herman Nudick here calling. Yes, Dr. Bauer, I believe you attended Dr. David Minton's all-day seminar at Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in 2008 at Freeburg, Illinois.
Yes, I
and,
did.
Also, I've read that Pitram Sorokin book when I was in college on my own initiative. I can still remember the thesis. I'm just run this past you. Luther turned certainly the Western Christian world upside down, beginning with the 95 Theses on the door Church of Wittenberg. Would you say today that we need an equivalent of those statement of theses of an apologetic nature, asserting the clarity of truth of Christianity amidst the counterclaims, which are often even self-contradictory among themselves. You'll have liberal skeptics, Muslim speakers, Jesus seminar people all ganging up on Christianity or other world religions, and they among themselves certainly don't share premises of the same truth. That this would be perhaps an effective way to open conversation or to get people open to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God embedded in these things.
Okay. Let me just respond to that. First of all, it's been my privilege to become personally acquainted with Dr. David Menton, and at his invitation, my wife and I went to spend a weekend at their home in Kentucky, and talk about drinking from a fire hose. I mean, you know, talking with David Menton, you know, ask him a question, and go boom! I mean, it's just marvelous to get to know him, and he has a collection of jazz records and a stereo system in one of a room of his house that you would not believe, and really has quite a number of a collection of music. Fascinating individual. And Sorokin, again a neglected genius, but whose work was Harold O.J. Brown wrote a book based on Sorokin's work about 10 years ago. As far as a 95 theses, in 1817, on the eve of the Prussian Union, a German pastor named Klaus Harms wrote a new 95 theses in which he warned the German people against the Prussian Union, and said if they consummate this illicit union, that Luther would rise from the grave and rebuke them. And you can see the devastating effect of the Enlightenment and rationalism on the Lutheran Church in Germany. Hermann Zosse, another Hermann, said that the effect of the Enlightenment on the Church in Germany was to reduce church attendance by 90%. A decline from which they have never recovered. I personally, to get to your question, bottom answer, simple answer, no. I think that we do not need a statement. We need living letters. We need people that are in good churches. We need good pastors who are proclaiming the gospel, and we need people befriending, I mean really befriending, their neighbor, whomever that may be. Luther said in his typically trenchant way, God does not need your works, he needs your faith. Your neighbor does not need your faith, he needs your works. And being a helpful servant to your neighbor can testify even silently to the faith that is in you. Take a crucifix. You look at it, there's a cross, there's the corpus, there's the little sign above it, I-N-R-I, and it's not saying anything. There's no verbal proclamation, but the visual image burns itself into your mind. There is nonverbal communication, and some artist has made a crucifix. And in the same way, just the way we carry ourselves, the things that we do and the things that we don't do testify to our faith. That is what we need. We need a small army of individuals that are really living out their faith in the community, starting with their wife and with their children and their grandchildren, because they are the ones who see you, warts and all, and know whether or not you're genuine. So I don't think we need another 95 theses. No, I don't. I think the 95 Theses and the whole of Scripture needs to be internalized by the individual and then carried out into the community. Those are my thoughts.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts and picking up on the Herman Zassi insight and comment about the impact of the Enlightenment on the church attendance in Germany. I have one of his books that's been translated and been reading that, and good to hear from you, and may the Lord bless and keep and prosper your efforts.
Which book may that be that you're reading by Zassi?
Union and Confession.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Can't read too much Luther, can't read too much Zassi.
Yes, indeed. He certainly has quite an insight with the what happened to confessional Lutheranism in Europe and Germany, the impact of the Enlightenment and all, and its consequences. He's very steadying to reading.
Yes.
Thank you.
You keep
Thank
it up.
You. Have a great day. Let's continue with the phone callers, Pastor Bowie, and go to David, who's been waiting to get a hold of us. Hey, David, good to hear from you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. You know you're getting older when you almost forgot what you called in about.
You've only been on hold for 4 minutes.
Yeah. That's long enough
like,
for me.
That's not a good sign.
Too much playing around when I was in my 20s.
Well, according to what it says on the screen here, just to help you out, it says you wanted to talk about schooling to be a preacher.
Oh, okay. That's part of it, yeah. you know, you look at the early church, the apostles, you know, they didn't have no, as far as I know, seminaries. They were just with Christ, and they had the Holy Spirit. But that leads to other problems, like during the Reformation, when it first started, the cry was sola scriptura, the Bible alone. And they started, you know, with the Gutenberg printing press, everybody started to get their own Bible. And with that, people started to go off in all kinds of tangents, you know, and you had Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, and that's one of the detriments, I think, to the cries of the Reformation was sola scriptura, because everybody interpreted the Bible the way they saw fit, through whatever what lens they had and glasses they read it through, and it just seemed like it led to more division, and now you got countless thousands, hundreds of thousands of different churches preaching different things. And the only metaphor I can put to it is the U.S. Constitution. If every American would interpret that their own way, you would have utter chaos. And I don't know. I just think, even though the Catholic Church admitted they had problems during this time, abuses, going off on that with sola scriptura, it seemed to add more confusion, and now we have what we have today, where they're really, there's not one or two groups out there that could agree on everything, or not even one thing. Let's say baptism. There's some people believe, well, it's just a church ordinance. You don't have to be baptized, or you shouldn't if you want to. They don't even agree on a communion. And I think I'll let you go because I know time is short. But
no, hang on for a moment, okay. David. So I guess if I had to boil this down, what you're saying is you noticed the change from what does this mean for me to what does this mean to me. Everybody translates it and interprets it on their own.
It's very confusing. And a person who's trying to search for some kind of clarity of the scriptures, depending on what church you go to, you're going to get a vast variety of teaching.
Pastor Bowie, jump in.
Yes. Well, in my book, The Epistles of Hermeneutics, Herman puts forth a simple and elegant solution to this problem. Because you know, you've got a church on this corner, the Baptist church over here, and the Methodist church over here, and Roman Catholic, and a Lutheran church down the street, and each of them are proclaiming to be the one true church on earth. And it's confusing to the person that lives in a community with all these variety of choices. Well, Herman's solution is to take all the Baptists and put them in Rhode Island, where they started, and take all the Catholics and put them in Maryland. And you take all the Mormons and you physically move them to Utah, and the Missouri Synod Lutherans get Missouri, and you take the ELCA Lutherans and put them all in Minnesota, and then you've got Iowa as a no man's land in between. So that's why he, and what he calls his program is neo-anti-disestablishmentarianism. So we're going back to the way each state has established religion, and that solves the whole problem right there. And if you don't like the church in your state, just move to another state if you can get in. Now, the problem with this fragmentation is this has been the problem of the interpretation of the Word of God ever since the world began. When the devil said to the woman, did God really mean that in a day that you eat of this fruit, you will surely die? He didn't really mean that. Now, I'm going to give you the real correct interpretation. I was surprised when Dr. Charlemagne, who is my professor at St. Louis, blessed memory, said to me that there are more divisions in the Roman Catholic Church than there are in Protestantism. You've got all these different groups and nuns and monks, and some of them are Marxists, and some of them are Buddhists, and some of them are practically Hindus, and you've got thousands of divisions with the Roman Catholic Church. It was all held together by the authority of the Pope. If there were no Pope, you'd see just as much fragmentation in Catholicism as in Protestantism. So this is why we have confessions and creeds in the church as a touchstone, where the elders of the church throughout the ages and church councils have defined what is the doctrine of the church. And don't be fooled by the Eastern Orthodox claim to be the one true church on earth, because they've never had a reformation. The problem is they needed a reformation four or five times and never had one. So that's my short answer to that question.
Well, I know you're correct about the Roman Catholic. There are seems to be a lot of liberalism and division even within that church, as
yeah.
far as the Hindus and Buddhists and stuff.
Yeah,
it's perplexing to the average person out there.
Yes, it is.
David, have a great weekend. We're going to have to let you go because time is very short here. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
Enjoy yourself. Pastor Emeritus Fred Bowie, Fritz Bowie, our guest on Ask the Pastor today. Glad you made it in. Do me a favor, since we've mentioned your books several times.
Yeah.
The phone number again,
phone
how folks get
again.
In touch with you, how they can...
314-307-6512. The lines are open. I hear that call. Just one more to reach our goal for today, to sell one book, please.
Support your local pastor. Thank you, my friend. Have a great
All
weekend.
All right. God bless you.
You as well, guys. We'll see you Monday.
Listen,
bye-bye.
Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.
Jesus, don't you care? Any storm of life, any tragedy, any hardship, any hurt, Satan and sin slip in the thought Jesus doesn't care. Well, I am here to tell you that as surely as catastrophe is going to come, so also will a caring Christ to conquer that catastrophe.
Pastor Ken Klaus, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
How would you like to give a gift to KFUO Radio and a gift to your children at the same time? Wondering how that could be possible? Well, it's easy, and our trained staff of gift planning specialists can show you how. Many have benefited from this prudent method of estate planning, and we do all the work to set it up for you. Give us a call and find out how you can benefit KFUO Radio with your legacy gift.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, our organization of the week, on AM 850 KFUO Clayton, St. Louis, worldwide at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm Sandy Cosell. Jurors in Jerry Sandusky's child sex abuse trial listened again to testimony from a key prosecution witness against the former Penn State assistant football coach, then went back behind closed doors for a second day of deliberations. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports Sandusky was in court this morning, joined by some but not all of his family.
On the morning after Matt Sandusky issued a statement claiming to have been a victim of his adoptive father, three of the Sanduskys' other five adopted children and the wife of one appeared in court supporting their parents. They listened to a readback of the testimony of Mike McQueary, the graduate assistant who reported seeing Sandusky and a boy in a Penn State shower.
President Obama's endorsement of gay marriage appears to have made Americans on both sides of the issue even more entrenched in their positions. A new poll finds the move has fired up young liberal backers while intensifying opposition from Republicans and conservatives. Jennifer Agesta is the AP's deputy director of polling.
We also asked whether people trust Obama or Mitt Romney to handle same-sex marriage and abortion and social issues kind of generally. Obama had a big advantage on that question before he took this position on same-sex marriage, and he continues to hold a large advantage. 52% said they trust Obama to handle those issues, compared with 36% who say they trust Romney.
This afternoon in Florida, President Obama will address Hispanic leaders, a day after they gave a cool reception to Mitt Romney and his new softer stance on immigration. Mount Rainier National Park says a climber who spent the night on the mountain after an accident has started walking down with rangers. The spokeswoman says the park still hopes a helicopter will be able to pick her up and recover the body of a ranger killed yesterday during the rescue of three other members of that climbing team. The stock market has bounced back a day after suffering the second worst loss this year. The Dow is now up 49 points. This is AP Radio News.